song we sang tonight was Victory in Jesus. And the choir sung about fully trusting in Him and then Him being the Lord and the King of Kings. And then we heard the new act sang about you can't keep Him in the ground. And the two ladies told us about how He was crucified. And then the quartet told us again as we listened to them that He's risen today. Amen. And folks, I know He's alive. Amen. Because He's living right here. Amen. 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 I can feel Him.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Somebody says, you know, well, feeling don't count. Well, the count I've got does.
Amen.
If you can't feel it, you might be like an old preacher friend of mine down in Tennessee. If you can get it and not feel it, you'd lose it and never miss it. But I want to tell you, when mine, and I can't feel it right here, I miss it. Thank the Lord for the services thus far. We'd like to tell you tonight to pray for some of our members, some of y'all, someone that all of you know. Brother and Sister Connor, especially Sister Connor. Probably most of you know her condition, and they had planned so much to be here. I'm not mistaken, this is the first one they've ever missed out of 14, I believe they said. And of course she, as you know, had colon cancer and had surgery, and they removed the cancer, but there were some other cancer cells, and she was taking chemotherapy, and she took 5 treatments, one each day for 5 days, and made it so well. All of us had prayed, and she had, and made it so well, because I've seen so many get so sick, and she didn't. And we were just so joyful and thanking the Lord. And then she got an infection, and of course the chemo does away with your immunity. She had to go in the hospital, and they canceled the further treatments for a while. She was to take one a week, then for a year. Then finally, last Monday, she went back for her first weekly treatment, and she did so well again. We talked to her that afternoon. My wife was talking to her, and she was telling her that she was doing so well. She'd taken a treatment, gone out and ate a late breakfast and come home, and just doing so well. And then the next morning, she was sick. Temperature up, had to carry her back to the hospital. All along we'd say, Ms. Connor, do you think you ought to go to the conference? We were afraid she'd get up here and get sick. And brother, I want to tell you, it's bad to get sick away from home, because I've been there.
Amen.
But it's good to have people care for you. But anyhow, she wanted to go. But it had gotten to where the place, Brother Connor, felt like it wouldn't be the most profitable thing to do. And so he called Brother Titus. And I believe she got just a little bit mad at him. She told my wife, said, he called him and canceled it while I was in the hospital. She wanted to come so bad. She told me, said, Brother Smith, tell them that we are hurting. Because we can't be there. So we miss Cyril tonight. It's always been here. Of course, some going on to be with the Lord in years past, but some always look forward to seeing Brother Kissel and Brother Titus mentioned, Brother Wallace Tuney. Of course, Brother Tuney going on to be with the Lord, and then Brother Eugene Clark, that's been here, not able to be here tonight. These are some of the, what we used to call, as Brother Jones said, old Brother Clark. Where's Brother Jones? But I want to tell you, it's changed a little bit. It's getting to be old Brother Jones. But I just want to say this to you preachers tonight. We don't have too many young preachers here. But one of these days, we're going to be in the same place as Brother Connor, Brother Clark, and some of them's going on. And if we don't fight the battle like Brother Hancock is preaching tonight, how can we expect those coming behind us to?
Amen, brother. Amen.
I'm thankful for these older preachers that God used to teach me.
Amen.
the Holy Spirit taught me, don't get me wrong. I don't give any credit for human effort. But God uses human instrumentality.
Amen.
And all the truth I know tonight, the Holy Spirit taught me through His servants. I thank God for them. Not bragging on them, but I just pray that God would be pleased to just use me in a small way like He has some of them. I want to preach on a subject tonight a little bit different, I suppose. But I didn't want to for a long time, but finally I didn't have much choice. And Brother Hancock says he just said preach it, so that's what I'm going to try to do, brother. I want you to look with me in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, 15. You know, I couldn't hardly believe it. I looked outside a while ago and Brother Hancock was about ready to quit and it's still daylight. I couldn't imagine him quitting before dark. Just kidding, brother. But it is good to be here. And I want to thank the church and your pastor for just allowing us to come, having the conference, just allowing us to come. And I'd be lying to you if I didn't say I'm thankful to get to preach. But I could truthfully say God is my witness. It's been a joy just to be here. It really has. We've only heard one sermon. Beautiful singing, and I thank God for good scripture singing. But it's been a joy. As Brother Titus said, indeed, the Holy Spirit's here. No question about that tonight. And if you don't know it, then I'll do a little checking up because He's here. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, 15. But before I read that, I want to just quote a verse of Scripture in Hebrews 9:27. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. With that in mind, look with me now in verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also, of course, talking about Jesus, Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And my subject tonight is, are you afraid to die? Are you afraid to die? Are you? Mankind, since the fall of Adam, through the subtlety of Satan, has been enslaved, and all of us, to some extent, with the fear of death. I'd be lying to you. I know I'm saved, and I know I'm going to heaven. The moment I draw my last breath, I'll be in the presence. I know that tonight. That's not because of feeling, but that's because of what the Bible says. I know that tonight.
Amen.
Because of what Jesus did.
Amen,
I know that. But I wouldn't be honest with you if I didn't say I have a certain fear of death tonight. Even the names we use to describe death give us a sense of fear. We call it the dark angel, the grim reaper, the pale horse of death, the king of terrors. Automatically that brings terror to your heart. Such names that would illustrate what death means to mankind. But in spite of all the modern technology and all the great genetic engineering and all the miracle drugs and the new strides they made in medicine and all of this, we are unable within ourselves to free ourselves from the bondage of the fear of death. But I want to tell you something tonight. In spite of the bondage of the fear of death, its fetters can be broken. Its shackles can be loosed. Christ can set you free from the fear of death.
Amen.
He can liberate us from the bondage that we've had all of our lives.
Amen.
Our text tells us here, as we read in Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15, that one of the reasons He took upon Himself the form of mankind and came to this earth and died is that He might destroy the fear of death within you and I tonight.
Amen.
As His children. Free us who all of our lives have been in bondage to that.
Amen.
when I was a little boy, before I got saved, I lay in my bed and I was afraid that I'd die before it got daylight. Not only for me, but I was afraid my mother and dad would die and I'd be left alone. I feared death, not only for myself, but for others. I have two daughters, two son-in-laws, four grandchildren, and I fear for them. When they're away out on the road or somewhere else, and when there's a storm in there, and my wife and I fear for them. Because we know death is real, folks. It's real. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then after this, the judgment. But I want us to look at tonight, first of all, some chains that are of the bondage of the fear of death, some chains that enslave us and cause us to fear death. And then I want to try to show you, if God will help us tonight, how that Christ shatters all these chains. And then the result of all of this. First of all, the chains of death. One of the chains that binds us and causes us to fear death is the fear of loneliness. If you ever really been alone, I tell you what, I've been in crowds, I mean enormous crowds, and be alone. And just feel like wasn't anybody else there but me. I want to tell you, that's one of the worst feelings that you can ever have. God said, after he'd created Adam, and Adam had named all the animals, he looked down, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. And it's not. God created in us and built in us a need for love and companionship. And especially is companionship needed in a time of loneliness or crisis. In times of great suffering, times of loneliness, we cry out for a word of comfort. Have you ever been so lonely or in a time of suffering where somebody just come by and lay the hand on your shoulder and say, I'm thinking about you? Man, it meant so much, didn't it?
Amen.
Just to know that somebody was thinking, somebody cared. Give them a handshake and say, I'm praying for you. Loneliness. Well, death is a lonesome time. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, when he went out to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray with cross standing in his face, he carried his closest disciples with him and said, you stay here and pray while I go yonder and pray. In our own church, last couple of years, we've had some of our dearest members to go on to be with the Lord. And not too long ago, we had a lady in our church. Her husband was 100 years old in July. And she was 86. And of course, everybody thought he'd go before she did. But it didn't work out that way. And we went out to visit her one day, and her hip was hurting her. And about 2 weeks from the day we visited, and the hip started hurting, she went on to be with the Lord. But anyhow, they put her in the hospital, and she wanted to go home and be with her husband. She was afraid that he couldn't take care of himself. And you know how that is. You know, you wives don't think anybody can take care of your husband like you can. And most times they can't. He can't even himself. But she wanted to be home with him. So one day, him being as old as he was and sort of feeble, and she was way up, I believe, on about the third or fourth floor in the cancer section. And so he'd go up when he could to see her. And that day he finally made his way up to where she was. And he talked to her a few minutes. And finally she just waved to him like that. And she couldn't hardly talk. She was weak. And he said, honey, what are you doing? Are you telling me goodbye? And she said, yeah. Of course, he was right there with her. Her daughter was with her. But she had to die all by herself.
Yes, right. That's right.
It's a lonely time.
Yes, sir.
What could be more lonely than leaving all of those that you know and all of those that you love. There was a little boy that, and this is a true story, a little boy that had a terminal disease, and he realized that something drastic was wrong, and he asked his daddy, he said, "Daddy, am I going to die?" His dad, with tears in his eyes and wanting to be truthful with him, said, "Yes, son, you are." He said, "Well, son, are you afraid to die?" He said, "No, if I just had somebody to go along with me." Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Every one of us here tonight is going to die.
Amen.
If the Lord doesn't come back before, every one of us here is going to die. Amen. Are you afraid? Are you afraid to die tonight? Here lies, I believe, one of the great reasons that we fear death is because of the loneliness of it. Something that we're going to have to do all by ourselves. To the believer, though today, death is not what it seems.
Amen.
It seems like an enemy. And we dread to face it. But to you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ, death is not what it seems.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you tonight, for a child of God, we are not alone.
Amen.
Dead.
Amen.
We don't have to go by ourselves. Used to be an old song. I heard, I don't remember all of it, but I remember it went something like this. You've got to walk that lonesome valley.
Yeah.
And you've got to walk it all by yourself. Nobody else can walk it for you. You've got to walk it by yourself. But I want to tell you tonight, as a child of the King, I don't have to walk it by
Amen.
Myself.
Amen.
I don't have to go alone. As Brother Hancock told us tonight in Hebrews 13, Jesus said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And over in Romans chapter 8, and what verse is it? 35. And he's talking about who shall separate us from the love of God. And he said, "Neither life nor death shall separate us from the love of God." Christ Jesus. The old psalmist said in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." A whole lot of difference in a shadow and the real thing. Did you know that? If I was going down the highway tomorrow and the sun's shining, and here I'm at a big 18-wheeler coming, and boy, if he was over on my side, I'll tell you, I'd be afraid. I'd fear for my life. But if he was on that side and all that was on this side was a shadow, I wouldn't be afraid. But I want to tell you tonight, folks, as a child of God, when we come to death, it's only a shadow.
Amen.
Because the sting has been taken out.
Amen.
And the victory that we've heard about tonight is already ours. You can't keep him in the grave. And because he lives, I live also, Jesus said. Brother Hancock talked about Israel as they came to the River Jordan. God told them to go across. And, well, we all got to cross that Jordan of death. We're going to cross it unless the Lord comes back first. We're going to stand there one of these days. And if you're without the Lord, you're going to stand there by yourself. But the Bible tells us that, and Brother Hancock told us about that, that the high priest, when they walked down to that Jordan and their feet touched the water and the waters rolled back and the ground dried up and they stood there and the children of Israel walked across dry shod.
Amen. Amen.
I want to tell you tonight, when you and I as the children of God, we come down to that Jordan of death,
Amen.
We won't have to cross it by ourselves.
Right. Amen.
Our high priest goes before us.
Yes.
And he parts the waters and he walks with us as we cross it to the other side. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Because all my sins, he did atone. And when the darkness I see, He'll be there with me, and I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Heard another story. I only tell these to illustrate what I'm trying to tell you tonight. About a young boy that out in the country, and he worked in a country store. He was afraid of the dark, like most young boys are. So the man that he worked for would always let him go home so he could get home before dark. There was a place, and some of you know what I'm talking about. I don't mean to this be funny, but used to when I lived out in the country and I'd have to go home sometime at night, I had to go by a cemetery. And I heard all kinds of tales, and they're just tales. Let me tell you, nobody dead will ever hurt you. The ones that hurt you is alive. But I was afraid to go by there. Well, that's the way it was with this young boy. There was a very dark place through the woods, and he was frightened of that place. And as he left the store and going home, the closer he got to it, the more fearful he got. And he was just almost terrified when he got there. But you know, he had a father that was concerned about him. And when he got to that dark place, his father was there to help him through it. And all fear was gone. Well, death is darkness, even to us as children of God, because we've never been there. But I want to tell you, when we get to that dark veil, we're going to find our Savior, our Father, waiting to carry us through that frightful darkness to the sunlight on the other side. Won't have to go through that darkness alone. Another reason I believe that we have the fear of death is because of the unknown. I've heard preachers, and I may have done it, I'm not sure, at funerals or especially at the interment, and we talk about a journey from which no traveler returns. And I'm here to tell you tonight, folks, that's true. Amen. To the finite mankind, the realm of death remains shrouded in uncertainty. It does me. I'm honest with you. Now, regardless of what somebody tells you, no one has ever returned. I'm talking about humans. No human has ever returned from death to unlock its secrets to us. I don't care what anybody tells you and how many books have been written on it. When somebody tells me that they died and come back from the dead, I automatically list them as a false prophet, a false testimony. Now, I'm not talking about Jesus didn't resurrect some. He did. Now, I'm talking about those that come back and tell us all this. And on top of that, these sensational stories that they tell us cause more questions than they do answers. I'm not saying that people don't see things, near-death experience. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you don't have some kind of vision or dream. But what I am telling you, you can't depend on it or trust in it. Because it's man's word, not God's word. Neither science, philosophy, nor even religion can tear away this veil of mystery. Can't do it. I said religion, you understand. There are many what-ifs. Mankind, when it comes to death, the unprepared unbeliever, when he stands at death, has every right to be afraid. Because you know absolutely nothing about it. Not only that, but you know absolutely nothing about the one that's in control of death tonight. You know, there's a song, "I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know about death, but I know the one that holds it tonight is in control of it." Amen. Death is unknown. But the one that has the keys of death tonight is not unknown to me. I know him. When the unbeliever stands there, and I could name many questions, I'm sure you could too, no doubt goes through the mind. Is there really life after death? Is there? Does mankind cease to exist when they come to death? Is there hope on the other side. Those that have gone on, do they still exist? Is there a God that we're going to have to stand and face one day? Is there a time of a reckoning and a given account?
Amen.
Such questions as these, I believe, would cause the bravest heart to tremble. It wouldn't mind.
Amen.
It did before I was saved. Mm-hmm. And the unknown of death still bothers me to some extent. I'll admit it to you. Mm-hmm. Tonight, I lay in bed and let me say this, and I don't mean to be funny tonight, folks. And I said this about Brother Jones. But I wonder, don't stand up, but I wonder how many of us preachers here tonight that's under 50 years old. When I started coming to these conferences, I was a young preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Really was. And I was the one that sat and listened and received advice. And I probably should be. But now they've put me in the category I'm supposed to give advice. Not because I'm smart, but because I'm older. Lord willing, next month I'll be 61 years old. There's not many preachers here older than I am tonight. That's the hardest thing in the world for me to believe. It really is. But it's true. And I lay down in my bed at night, and not too long ago, a year or two ago, there was three men, the same age as I was, died right together. I mean exactly my age. I got to thinking about it, and I lay in my bed, and I said, Lord, I may not have much time. You know, and I'm a preacher, and I'm a saved virgin, but somehow or another, I got it in my mind and my heart that I was going to live to be an old man. And if you'll be honest, you have too. You ladies and you men think you're going to live to be old. But not everybody does. And I lay in my bed some night. And I get to thinking about it. Lord, how much longer do I have? Will I go tonight? Lord, what is it like? Would you help me just to see through that veil a little bit and tell me what it's like? Because I don't know anything about it. We come down to those gates of death. As we approach them, we look down and we see some footprints in front of us where many thousands have gone before us. We lift our eyes and we come down to that Jordan of death, or those gates of death. And we look on the other side and there's one standing there. Said, have no fear, my child. I've already been through those gates. And because I live, you're going to live also. And there are all those that's gone on before us, waiting for the final resurrection, is waiting for us. He lives today. He arose today. A lamb arose in Jerusalem today. And because he arose, I'll arise also. It's unknown, but he's not unknown. In Christ, the final word is not death, but it's life.
Amen.
John 10:27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I have given them eternal life, and they shall never perish.
Amen.
Oh, it's not death in Christ, but it's life. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
I don't know a lot about heaven, but I know Jesus is there.
Amen.
You know, I've got a mother and dad that's over there. Got a mother-in-law and father-in-law that's over there. Got a little brother that's over there. Got some preacher friends that's over there. And I did love them. And I care about them. And this is no reflection on them. And I'm glad they're in heaven. But when I go to heaven, it's not to see them.
Amen.
Not to see them.
Amen.
They're not the ones that conquered death, sin, and the grave for me.
Amen.
They're not the ones that was able to pay for my sins and took my place on Calvary's cross. But it's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, I believe I'd like to see the river of life. I believe I'd like to see it. And all those things the Bible tells us about, but I know tonight. I know tonight I want to see Him that conquered death, sin, and the grave. Old Paul said, Philippians chapter 1, I believe it's verse 23. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, desiring to be with Christ, which is far better.
Yeah.
Death is unknown, but He's not unknown tonight.
Amen.
So don't be afraid. Last tonight, I believe the reason for the fear of death is the fear of judgment. I'm saved tonight. I said I know I'm saved because the Bible tells me when His Holy Spirit came and convicted me, brought me to repentance and gave me faith to believe that He saved my wretched soul. And I'm not trying to be overly humble or anything of that nature tonight. Now, I know the Bible said the reason He saved me was for His good pleasure and His glory. I know that. But why else would He save me? How in the world could I give any glory to Him? I don't have anything to offer Him. I'm glad I'm not Cain tonight. But I feel like Cain's sacrifice. What I have to offer Him tonight for the strength of my flesh is nothing. I don't have anything to offer Him tonight. When I stand before God, all I can say is just simply to the cross I cling. That's all I've got to offer tonight. Not the blood of bulls and goats, not the works of my hands. And though I know I'm saved and I'm secure tonight, I still have a fear of judgment. You know why? Because I know tonight I'm not what I ought to be. I know I haven't been the faithful servant that ought to have been. And you know, and I don't know all about me. My Bible tells me that my heart is so deceitful and desperately wicked that I can't even know it. I do things I didn't believe I'd ever do. I really do. I have to pray, and maybe you don't. But I say, Lord, how in the world, if I'm saved, could I have ever done anything like that? I haven't murdered anybody, committed adultery, anything like that. But sin, sin, folks.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you curse, it'll hurt you just as bad if you murder somebody.
Right.
You know why? Because you did it against God. You're despising God. That's what hurts.
Amen.
And I know my sins are forgiven. I know I've been forgiven. I know I'm going to heaven. But I still think about those old sins, and they're still there. And I know they're not going to be held against me. But when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I'm afraid. I'm afraid I won't hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm afraid that many of those things I did will be wood and stubble. You know, in that third chapter of 1 Corinthians, he's talking about preachers building churches. And he said, talking about what a wise master build is. If other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. The way to build churches on Jesus Christ as preachers. And we're to build them out of gold and silver and precious stones. That's what you build churches out of. And I want to tell you tonight, mankind can't make gold. He can't make silver. He can't make precious stones. Only God can do that. They're a creation of God. All you and I can do is just dig them up and shine them up. That's what our job as preachers are. Take that which God has already created, and He adds them to the church, and we teach them, and they become sanctified. And they begin to shine for the Lord. But you know what happens a lot of time? We're not satisfied. So we go out on our own, near the strength of the flesh, and we begin to try to build a church out of wood, hay, and stubble, the works of our own hands. And I want to tell you, We preach and we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Some that maybe have 5,000 congregation, 10,000 professions, are going to stand there and see all their works, their mighty works that they got such a claim for and were so proud of, see them burned to ashes.
Yes, that's right.
Because they wood, hay, and stubble.
That's right.
And some little old Baptist preacher over here, way out in the country somewhere, didn't have much education, and pastor, some people didn't have much education. If they had an educated pastor, they probably wouldn't know what he was saying. But you know, the Holy Spirit's a teacher now. And I don't mean to be funny about this, but the Holy Spirit can take ain't and put in a person's heart just as much as he can take are not.
Amen.
And make him understand.
That's right.
That old country preacher just tells him about Jesus as mighty to save.
Yeah.
He died for the sins, and God creates them. He made them and formed them as a jewel, and he brings them out and sets them in that church, and that little old country preacher takes them and shines them up. He stands there at the judgment seat of Christ. May not have over 15 or 20.
Yeah.
You just say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over me.
Yeah. Amen.
I just want to be faithful over a few things. So we fear death because of the judgment. But you know, and the Bible over and over again tells us there is going to be a judgment. Judgment seat for the Christian. Great white throne judgment for the lost sinner. But for you and I tonight, as a child of God, we need not fear. Paul, writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 25, I believe it is, he said, some men's sins go before them unto judgment. Others follow after. Well, my sins have already gone on to judgment. They were judged in Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. They're already gone on. I'm not going to have to face them because Jesus paid for them. But you as a lost sinner tonight, my friend, without Jesus Christ, will face your sins. And you'll spend an eternity in hell never paying for them. Not paying for them, but never paying for them. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But Paul, over in Romans chapter 8, to you and I that are children of God, he said, have no fear. Because there is therefore now no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you afraid to die tonight? Well, if you've never been set free from that bondage of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then you better be afraid because you're certainly going to die. I want to close tonight 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Don't let the devil shake you up. We've got victory, as Brother Hancock preached tonight, as we've sang. We've got victory because he lives tonight. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. We won't have to cross Jordan alone. Our high priest, our Savior. You know, in Hebrews 7:25, he said he saved to the uttermost.
Right.
Uttermost means as far as you can go.
That's right.
So we're saved as far as you can go. Go as far in eternity as you want to, and we're still saved.
Yes.
Death has no victory over the children of God tonight.
Amen.
We're victorious.
Amen.
Thank you.